appreciate both of you very much. Thankful you're here today. Maybe somebody else has something on your heart. Amen.
Their children here, so they can learn and hear God's word, and they're building a foundation by bringing them here, and so they can hear the word of God. That will be the strongest thing that will ever happen in their life, is when they come to accountability and they find the Lord. That will be the strongest thing in their life, so they'll always have the Lord to lean on.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister LaVon. Amen. Bless you, Sister Allison. Anyone else? I have one verse of Scripture that I would like to read, share with you this morning. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's my reading lesson today. I would like to speak to you this morning about lost opportunities. You that are here today that are not saved are very much upon my heart and my mind this morning. We live in a dangerous world. Brother Hendricks and I, just a few moments before Sunday school this morning, we talked about all of the tragedy that we're seeing in the world today. It seems like every time that you turn around, the land is being burned. There are floods. There are tsunamis, earthquakes. Just every time you turn around, just disastrous things happening. You are certainly welcome to your own opinion and to make your own assessment of that. My feeling is that they are signs of the times. I believe the Lord is speaking out. If you read the things that are happening in our world today, and you read the first chapter of Isaiah, when Israel had gone so far away from the Lord and the things that were happening there, actually, if you read that first chapter of Isaiah, when I read it, it reminds me a lot of America, of what's happening in our country today. And we live in a dangerous world. We live here in this world, we live very uncertain lives. And it's not good to be in this world lost and without God. I hope that you will understand today and realize the fullness of that, how dangerous that it truly is, how desperate that your condition is if you've not been saved by the grace of God. And I said last night that the Lord, I'm thankful that He's given us another day here to labor. I'm thankful that He has extended His mercy and His grace to you here today. The only reason that that's happening is the Apostle Peter wrote about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. He wrote about the coming of the Lord. It's imminent. He is going to come. And the Apostle Peter wrote and said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He is going to keep His promise and He is going to come. But He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is extending time through His mercy and extending the opportunity for people to seek the Lord and be saved, that you would not have to perish. But He's not slack concerning His promise, and one day He will cut it off, and one day He will come. Now, when that's going to happen, you and I don't know. Only God in heaven knows that day and that hour, but we do know of a certainty that it is going to come. And I want to say to you the same thing that I said to you here last night. When you have the opportunity before you, God doesn't want you to think about getting saved sometime down the road. He doesn't want you to think about getting saved tomorrow or next week or maybe next month would be a better time, because He wants you to come to Him now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to be focused, and you need to have your heart and your mind fixed upon the opportunity that you have before you right now, because we don't have promise that we'll make it through this day. We don't have the promise that we'll live a day beyond this day. We don't have the promise. We don't have the knowledge of that. Only God knows how long that He's going to allow you to stay here and how long that He's going to extend His mercy to you. I want us to think in the Bible and use several examples from the Scriptures about people that had great opportunity to seek the Lord and be saved, but yet they pushed Him away. They rejected the Lord. And friends, listen, if you reject the opportunity that you have, if you reject the Lord, the day is going to come when all of your opportunities, just like we have read here in the book of Jeremiah, the day will come when opportunity will no longer be afforded you. You won't have it anymore. We could think of this scripture in a lot of different ways. We could think of this in the way of perhaps even a revival meeting like we've been having here this week. The salvation of souls is often referred to in the Bible as a harvest. And you know, Jesus told His disciples not to say that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He told them not to look at it as something down the road or something in the future. Say not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now is the time. And so we could look at this and we could say, well, you know, another revival meeting has just about come to pass and you're still not saved. Or we could say that another service, a Sunday service has gone by and you're still not saved, you're still lost. But I believe that truly what was the point that was being made here is that there is a great day coming when all opportunity will be passed. it'll just be too late. It'll be too late to seek the Lord for His mercy and His grace. The time of harvest, the time of the saving of souls, the time of God's mercy will be past. The summer will be ended. The harvest will be over. And I pray that none of you here today will find yourselves still lost in that hour. You know, when Jesus was here on the earth, there were people that had great opportunity to turn to Him. Sometimes I think about that. I think about the fact that there was a time here on the earth when people actually heard the Word of God from God Himself. They actually heard the God of heaven preach the Word. They were here when Jesus was in the world and He preached the gospel to people. You know, we preach to people today that you must repent and that you must have faith, that you must repent of your sins and you must trust the Lord in order to be saved. Those are God's conditions of salvation. And you know, Jesus Christ, when He was here in the world during His earthly ministry, do you know that He preached that exact same thing? He went out and He preached that men should repent and believe the gospel. He preached those same conditions of salvation. And there were people that heard the Word of God from the lips of Jesus Christ Himself, and yet they still rejected the opportunity that they had. That saddened the heart of the Lord. I mean, it really saddened His heart. And listen, it saddens His heart today when He gives opportunities to people, when He extends His great invitation to people, when He extends His mercy and His grace to you and invites you to come to Him and seek Him for His great gift of salvation. It hurts the Lord when people reject Him. We find that during His earthly ministry that it bothered Him to the point that He made this statement when He looked out on Jerusalem and He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together, even as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and you would not." I want to tell you something today. If you're here today and you're lost, if you don't get saved, it's going to be because you would not. You need to understand today that the responsibility is upon you. Jesus preached the gospel to those people. Jesus told those people the truth, and yet many of them rejected Him. And He said, "How often would I have done this for you? How often would I have just brought you into my bosom? How often would I have gathered you together and protected you and spread my wings over you and give you safety? But you would not. You wouldn't have anything to do with it. You pushed away the opportunity that you had." And He said, after He made that a statement, He said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Friends, listen. The Lord is not going to deal with you forever. We read in the days of Noah, when God said that He was going to send a flood upon the earth, and He said that they were going to have a certain time in order to get ready for that. And He said that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I want you to understand today that the opportunity that you have before you, to get saved, for things to be made right between you and God, I want you to know today that God is not always going to be offering that to you. The same holds true today. His Spirit is not always going to strive with you. Those people there in the antediluvian world had 120 years. God said in 120 years, He was going to bring the flood upon the earth. And during that time, they were warned. Noah warned them. The Bible talks about him having been a preacher of righteousness. And he was building the ark by faith. And he was warning those people of what was coming. And yet they went and they passed by him from time to time. And they rejected that warning. They rejected that teaching. They rejected the things that he was saying. And the time came when God kept his promise that he was going to send a flood upon the earth. And he sent the flood, and it destroyed them from the face of the earth. You know, I have tried to imagine what the flood must have been like. There's a flood right now in Indiana, south of Indianapolis. I heard this morning that two of our churches, the flood waters were so bad there that they had to cancel. They couldn't even meet for their services. And I know that that flood, though it has disabled them the way it has, was nothing like the great flood. I've wondered and tried to imagine what it must have been like. What it must have been, what those people must have been feeling when God himself, after Noah and his family, those eight people that had believed God, went into that ark, and God himself shut the door, closed the door to all opportunity. They couldn't get in after that. Listen, the Bible says that God can shut a door and no man can open it. And God can open a door and no man can shut it. And when God shut that door to the ark, friend, it was sealed, it was shut, and there was nobody else that was going to get in. And then the fountains of the deep were broken up. And the rain began to fall from heaven. And can't you just imagine? I can. I think knowing, we are human and we know how humans react to things. And I can imagine how those people begin to scream and how they begin to cry and how they begin to weep. And I'll tell you what, I believe when those rains begin to fall and those waters begin to come up from the earth, I believe they knew that they had lost all opportunity. I believe they knew that it was too late. You know, there may have been some of them banging on the door of that ark. I don't know what happened, but I do believe they realized that they weren't getting in. The opportunity they had was past. And I read in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there in the parable of the 10 virgins, how that they took their lamps. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them had oil in the lamps, and five of them didn't. They didn't take any oil. You know, that oil, I believe, represents the Holy Spirit of God. Five of them had it, and five of them didn't. And the five that had took their lamps and took oil in that, they were known as the wise. Those that took their lamps but no oil, they were called foolish. And while they slumbered and slept at midnight, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, they that had the oil, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. It was shut. They had asked the others. In that parable, it says those that were foolish, when the midnight cry came, when the bridegroom was coming, they, the foolish ones, asked the wise ones, give us of your oil. And they said, we can't do that. We can't give you, we don't have enough oil for you and for us. You know what? When the Lord gave me salvation, he gave me enough for me. He gave me enough for me to make it in. He can give you what you need. But you're going to get it from him. You're not going to borrow from somebody else's. You're going to get it from the Lord, or you're not going to have it. And so while they said, well, go to those that buy and sell and get the oil. And when they went to do that, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And the Bible talks about them coming back and knocking and saying, Lord, open to us. But you know what? He didn't open. He didn't open. You have got to be ready when he comes. You've got to be ready when death comes, because you're not going to have opportunity after that point. There was a man that we read about in the 24th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles in verses 24 through 26. I made note of these, of a time when the Apostle Paul had a conversation with a man named Felix. And it says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now here's this man that he sent for the preacher. He sent for the Apostle Paul. He sent to him to sit down with him and to hear of him, to hear from him about Jesus Christ, about what the Apostle Paul would tell him about Jesus Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Now I want you to think about what happened here. You know, I believe, if from what I've seen and what I have felt, I believe there have been some of you that have been here this week in this revival meeting that you know that you're lost. You know that you need to be saved, but yet you don't seem to have done anything about it. Here was a man that sent for the Apostle Paul. He heard the things that he had about hear about Jesus, and it troubled him so much that he actually began to tremble. I mean, I'll tell you what, I believe that God had arrested the heart of Felix. I believe he had a hold of him. I believe the power of God had a hold of Felix, and he did that to the point that he began to tremble. What an opportunity he had to turn to the Lord and be saved. But you know what he did? He said to Paul, he said, just go your way for now. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He wanted it to be his way. Friends, it's not going to be your way. If you get saved, it's going to be the Lord's way. You're going to have to come the Lord's way, or you're not going to have it. Listen to this. I mean, this breaks my heart that somebody would have actually done this. After he told him to go away, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Isn't that sad? I mean, here was a man that heard the gospel. He was touched by the Holy Spirit, and he trembled, and he just rejected the opportunity, and he just sent the preacher away and said, whenever it suits me, I'll call for you. And he wanted money. I mean, isn't that a sad thought that somebody would give up the opportunity for eternal life that they might have money? He kept sending for Paul to come to him, trying to get money out of him. What a sad, sad situation if you really stop and think about it. What about the rich young ruler? We heard about him this week in the revival effort. He came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life?" And you know, Jesus, knowing what this man believed, he said, "Well, you know the commandments. Keep the commandments if you want to enter into life." And this man said that he had kept them. From his youth up, he said that he had kept them. He hadn't, but he said he did. Jesus proved it to him. He proved one thing to him especially, that he didn't love his neighbor as himself, because he wasn't willing to give up what he had and help other people with it. He just thought that he was. He came and he asked about eternal life, and Jesus told him this, and he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth up, what lack I yet?" And Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect, sell all that you have and come and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven." And this man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Think about that. He had a wonderful opportunity to be saved, and yet the things that he possessed in this world meant more to him than eternal life. Lost friend, listen today. Please understand this today, that if you want to be saved by God's grace, you're going to have to desire it more than you desire the things of this world. You're going to have to desire it more than you desire life yourself, because when we repent, we completely turn away from ourselves and from our sins, and we turn to the Lord. And if you don't turn to the Lord with your whole heart, he'll know it. He'll know it. This man, his riches meant more to him than the opportunity that he had before him to be saved by God's grace. Paul talked to a man by the name of Agrippa. And he said, "Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Do you believe what you've heard? Do you believe the word of God?" And he said, "I know that you believe it." And Agrippa said, "Well, almost you have persuaded me to be a Christian." He passed the opportunity by that he had to get right with God. What about when Jesus was crucified? There were two thieves on the cross, and boy, do we see the example here. Two thieves crucified with him, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. And here they were, and one of them began to rebuke Jesus. He began to, mock Jesus. He said, "If you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us also?" He didn't believe that Jesus could do anything. He didn't believe that Jesus was who that he said he was. And here's this other man that took full advantage of the opportunity that was before him. And he, even to the point that he rebuked the other thief, and he said, "Do you not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And right there hanging on the cross, he turned to Jesus and he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Lost friend, won't you turn to the Lord today? Turn to him. Turn your heart to Jesus and seek him, because he told that thief, that man that was just about to die, he said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Isn't that something? You see what good things the Lord has for those that take advantage of the opportunity that they have. You are given today the greatest opportunity that anybody could ever have. You know, I think a lot about Judas, a man that walked in the presence of Jesus for about 3.5 years, sat down and ate with him, had a close companionship there with Jesus, and died and lost his soul. Isn't that horrible? people seek opportunities. You know, through your life, you're going to seek opportunities. You will. You're not going to be a normal human being at all if you don't. You're going to seek opportunities. You're going to seek opportunities for education. You're going to seek opportunities for employment. You are going to go out and you are going to be seekers of opportunity. There are a lot of things, opportunities are going to come before you in life that if you don't jump on it right then, you're going to miss out on it. There are times where if you tarry just a little bit, you might miss out on getting a good buy on something, or you may miss out if you don't take advantage of the opportunity right there when it's before you. You may miss out on landing a good job or something like that. But listen, the most important opportunity that's ever going to be presented to you is the opportunity that you have to seek the Lord and be saved. And friends, if you tarry, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. The day is going to come when the harvest will be past. The summer ended, and you find yourselves not saved. That will happen if you push away the opportunity that the Lord gives you to be saved. If you'll come to Him, if you'll meet His conditions of salvation, if you'll come to Him on the terms of the gospel and seek Him with all your heart, He can say to you today the same thing that He said to the thief on the cross. He can say to you today the same thing that He said to Zacchaeus when He called him down out of that sycamore tree. And Zacchaeus came down and obeyed the Lord. And He said, "This day is salvation. Come unto this house." Wouldn't you like it to come to your house today? Would you like to be saved? You may not appreciate being called a fool, but those that reject the Lord, that's exactly what He says. That rich man in that parable there in Luke chapter 12, that rich man that all he cared about was having bigger barns to store his fruit in, Jesus called him a fool. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." I'd like for us to sing. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to understand that you have a great opportunity to come to the Lord and be saved. You may not have it beyond this service. You may not have it beyond this moment that you have right now. God is no respecter of persons. There are going to be people that are going to die and leave the world today. It's a fact. It may be you, it may be me, it may be somebody else, but you don't have any promise of an opportunity at all beyond this point, beyond what you have right now. So please, today, I plead with you, take advantage of what God is offering you while we stand and sing.